Hi, I'm Katie Stone Perez, and welcome to GDC. So I'm totally game crushing right now because this is actually Matt with The Very Odd Gentleman, and he's the creative director behind the new King's Quest, which is absolutely one of my most favorite games. So
thank you
so much for making it. So what were kind of some of your goals? I mean, obviously you had this amazing original IP. I played it when I was younger, absolutely loved it. Like, how did you take it from that to what it is today?
So when we got the project, we knew we needed to create something that both classic fans could get behind, but also really, like, we could, you know, if you've never played a classic King's Quest game, like, you could start with this. And so it's a crazy amount of balancing that we had to do, but the goal was basically to reimagine it. And so we wanted to do something that would honor the classic series, but also create something new.
Very cool. I know, actually, our videographer, Gulnaz, had never played the original series, and she's also, like, absolutely in love with it. My kids had never experienced the original series, and I have so loved this. This has been one of my favorite games to actually sit and play with my children, and I have to say this was actually the very first game that I ever saw my daughter want to persist past a point of failure in. And she actually asked me to hold the controller and play, and then actually during the button sequences, you guys did such a great job of actually putting in great checkpoints, and it was so clear to her what she needed to do, that she, and the story was so compelling that she persisted for the very first time. And it's just like, as a mommy, I was actually like sitting there crying because it was such a proud moment for me with my little one gaming for the first time. And so I just have to thank you for that amazing mommy moment.
Well, now you're gonna make me tear up a little. No, I mean, that's really awesome to hear, because, you know, really at The Odd Gentleman, but especially with this game, we wanted to create something that families could enjoy together. I grew up playing the games with my uncle. And, you know, like, there's not a ton of games that can happen anymore with, you know, where adults and children can get equal amount of enjoyment out of it. Where it's not like, oh, this is a children's game, and as the adult, I'm just playing it with the child. But there's stuff for everybody to sort of get out of it. And that was the big goal for me, was to be able to do that. So to hear your story, like, you know, that's awesome. And we, you know, for us and the team, when we get letters from parents saying, like, I grew up, you know, playing the game with my grandma, and now I got to play it with my daughter. Like, thank you so much for making this. That's really heartwarming, because that was like the ultimate goal.
So what went into the relationship? Because you guys have created such a beautiful relationship between Graham and Gwendolyn. So where did that relationship come from?
Well, when we started the thinking about the concept, we knew that we wanted to share this game, and I wanted to share this game that I grew up playing with a new audience as well. And we thought, because there's so much nostalgia about King's Quest, why not sort of work that into the story as well? So just like, you know, just like we're sharing the game with a new audience, like Graham is sharing his stories with his granddaughter, and it creates all this nice sort of like parallels and launching points.
Very cool. So how did you guys, like, where were your first steps when you started doing that reimagination in terms of, you know, starting down this process and what you were gonna do, and who helped with the story? Were you the creative behind the story? Because it's beautiful.
So it started with me and our producer and vice president, Lindsay Russell, and our art director, Evan Cagle. And we sort of, all three were up on the roof one day coming up with, you know, how do you approach something like this? And we came up with the basic concept. I'm the lead writer on the project and the lead designer. And Evan really helped. Early on, it was just the two of us build out the world and the story. And just a lot of iterations and a lot of concepting and just, I don't know, having fun and trying to see what we thought would work.
Very cool. So one of the things I love most about the game, too, is that there's these amazing plot points where you really have to have these kind of thoughts within your head of these moral decisions that you're making, and you know that there is kind of going to be impact later in the game on kind of the choices you're making. And I have to say, some of those points have triggered just amazing. I don't want to, you know, do any spoilers for anyone in the audience, because everyone should go get this game and play it. But there's some amazing, you know, conversations that I've had with my daughter when, you know, we've had to make a decision on what we were going to do, and then kind of the outcomes and the ramifications of those decisions. And it was, again, like one of the first conversations. I my daughter's only six, so we're just starting to embark on this, and we've had amazing conversations. So was that like a tenet that you guys were kind of going for throughout the game?
So yes, absolutely. Every project we do, we try to have like a secret sort of like design goal. And for King's Quest, one of the things we really wanted to have happen was that discussion about the things in the game. You know, it's not a multiplayer game, but it's still a multiplayer in the sense that, like, you can hand the controller back and forth, you can discuss what decisions you're making in it, and because it's family-friendly, like, you can have that. There is some stuff that's maybe a little on the darker side, but I think that makes for more interesting conversation with kids. Like, one thing that we've learned through our now 8 years of being a studio is kids are really, really intelligent. And even in our first game, The Misadventures of PB Winterbottom, which was a fairly hard puzzle game, we would see the kids just do so much better than the parents on these really abstract concepts, and they would teach them how to play.
Yeah.
And I think
I have my 3-year-old actually saying, "Oh, Mama, you need to go talk to that person. It's that way. It's that way. Go that way, Mama."
They're
I'm like,
brilliant.
"How do you even know already like, that guy's over there?"
I think one of the things that, you know, I grew up in the Nintendo era, and now I'm married.
As did I. Like, Nintendo is why I'm in the game industry.
And now I'm married and starting to think about having kids, and I think a lot of gamers my age are the same way, and I would like to have experiences that I can share with my future non-existent kids right now. I don't want to have to get even older and think of video games as like dad's selfish hobby that he plays alone. I would love to have more of these experiences, and there's not too many of them, and so that's what we really are excited about pushing the boundaries on, is, you know, family entertainment basically in games. And that's different than children's entertainment, right? Because children's entertainment would be something that's, you know, more like Sesame Street or something that is for kids. This is something that has a wider audience, and it's a very tricky balance to hit, because if you put too much stuff in it, people might think, oh, that's for kids, like it looks too cartoony or it's too silly and I'm not going to enjoy it. But if you can get that right balance, like, it's a big audience because it's everyone, basically, right?
I have to be honest. Like, I completely just bought it for me, right, to just start playing with it. And I started playing it on, like, a Friday night and, you know, got about, you know, 30 or 40 minutes into the first chapter. And I was like, I have to stop because I cannot play this without my daughter. Like, I knew that my girls would so want to experience the journey with me. And the way you guys had done it was just so accessible for them. So I'm actually pretty, you know, as a parent, I'm pretty selective about what I'm going to actually expose my kids to. So really, I think you guys have just really done a fantastic job of landing that. So.
Well, thank you. I mean, thank you so much for sharing that. I'm going to have to, I'm glad this is on video so I can share it with
you
the team.
You can share with the team and express all
but
my love.
That's what keeps us going. Yeah. And that's, you know, hearing that kind of stuff is working, which was like our secret sort of high level goal. And I think we've been trying to do stuff like this for years, and King's Quest was sort of the perfect thing to sort of prove some of our concepts on, and it seems to be working. So
very cool. Please make more. So I know that chapter 3 is actually coming out. Can you give us any spoilers or kind of tell us what to expect and when it's coming for us?
Sure. I mean, chapter 3.
I'll be taking the day off work.
with each chapter, we've been able to sort of tell our own unique story in a very specific time in Graham's life. So in chapter 3, we get to see Graham a little older, and we've got like a brand new model in and new animations. He's like much stronger.
Nice.
But it's a romantic comedy this time around. And it's all about how he met Valenice. And if you remember from King's Quest 2, it's kind of like the story of Rapunzel. Like, Graham climbs up a tower, instantly falls in love, rescues a princess, and gets married. And we kind of wanted to take a step back and have, you know, Grandpa Graham say, you know, love isn't quite that easy. Like, I know what you might have heard, but there's a little more to the story than that. And, you know, we sort of play with these tropes that have existed for a long time about love and princesses, and, you know, it's definitely not a story where Graham climbs up the tower and carries the princess back and instantly just marries her.
And thank you for that, because again, right, like, this is a whole new generation. Like, I don't want to share the, you know, carry the princess back story with my daughter. I want her to be able to see, you know, strong characters that she can identify with, because she sees the world as her oyster, right? She sees no boundaries between gender right now, and that's exactly the world I want her to live in and to be raised in. So thank you for helping create another chapter for us to engage with.
Especially for little girls, this chapter will be pretty special. So hopefully it works.
I'm
hopefully
so
we'll see. Hopefully people will like it.
Very cool.
It's a pretty fun chapter.
Now tell us, you have made something amazing. So tell us a little bit about your background. Like, how did you get here?
Like, how did I get into games?
Yeah.
I actually was a film major. Okay. I went to film undergrad, and then I did interactive media at USC. which was still in the film department, but it was more focused on games.
Yeah.
And that's when I sort of started, like, really... I've always played games, and I thought I was going to be in games, but then I took, like, this long detour into film. And the interactive media program at USC really solidified it.
Yeah.
And I did a... My thesis project was called The Misadventures of P.B. Winterbottom, which was a sort of silent film puzzle game that has, like, time rewinding and recording mechanics in it. And that actually got into GDC at the IGF and ended up getting a lot of attention, and we were able to work with 2K on Xbox Live and release that, and that sort of started the company and did that. So right after graduating from school, we had to figure out how to start a company, and that was just a crazy, ridiculous time.
Which is cool. I mean, I love actually seeing so many USC graduates that, are, you know, I've had a chance to talk with so many people this week. Tracy Fullerton was at the IGF receiving the Ambassador's Award. Yeah. So.
And Tracy was my, not only my professor, but she was my thesis advisor and mentor and
and one of the people that I most admire in our industry, so it's an honor. Awesome. It's an honor to get to know Tracy and get to work with her.
So. Yeah, I'm so proud, and it was such a heartwarming speech she gave. And you know, she's done a lot of stuff behind the scenes so that she's, you know, gets the credit and the attention. It's just really awesome.
Very cool moment to see her up there and for a very well-deserved award. Yes. So, well, thank you so much. Okay, so remind us all of the date so I can schedule it right now to take off.
Chapter 3 comes out soon, April 26th.
April 26th. Okay, if you guys have not played King's Quest yet, please, please, please go get this game on Xbox One. It is absolutely fantastic. So
thank you so much. Thanks for sharing your story.
Like, seriously, I so love the game.
Thank you.
Thanks, and have a great rest of the week at GDC.
Absolutely.